Okay, I gotta figure out what we got going on here. Okay, there we are. Well, it's good to see everybody. Well, except for Joe. Joe came on in anyway. Hard to believe still weather like this sometimes in November. I remember when it used to be so cold. But I'm not complaining. I tell you, of course I know this don't have nothing to do with anything, but Billy killed a deer, let's see, it was last week, I believe, maybe week four last. He brought it over to show me. They was ticks all over that. You can see them crawling through it. I mean, you can rub your hand and get five ticks on your hand. Ticks everywhere, yeah. He's got one big old bite right there that's that big around from a tick. So, you know, sometimes I know it's spiritual and natural, but you need the cold weather. You need the cold to put down some of them bugs. It's either that or get some bats. I'll take the cold. So, Dad is on the mend. Most of you guys asked. So, still got a ways to go. You know, that's a big surgery when they split you open from throat down to here and go in there and do that stuff. So. I'm sure he was thinking he would bounce back a little faster, but this is pretty tough, pretty tough. But it's good to see everybody. We did a wedding Saturday before last, and I did another wedding up here yesterday. So I enjoyed doing those things, seeing another young couple take the plunge. I told him, I said, you know, there's no expiration date on that marriage certificate. Your driver's license got one. Right? One on that certificate. I don't know. Hannah probably looked, didn't you? You looked. It's like, where's the expiration date on this thing? Jake, you weren't trying to write it in, was you? No. It's about covenant, you know. Those are precious things. I mean, they really, really are. And, you know, guys, that's what church is about, that relationship. That's what it's all about. I'm just thankful the Lord has opened our eyes to see a little bit of that. If you will, stand with us, and let's have a short prayer here. We'll sing. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your blessed Son and our Savior, our friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we just ask today that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we might see this great goodness, this great grace that is toward us. Father, we just ask for your blessings upon each and every one here, Father. Those that could be with us, Father, we ask for your great healing and growth, Father. We just pray, Lord, that you keep us, that you keep this little church, Father, that you just bless us to grow in grace and grow in understanding. Father, that we may be who you called us to be. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus, and amen. There's honey in the rock, there's water in the stone, manna on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know everything I need you've got. There's honey in the rock.
Praying for a miracle, thirsty for the living well. Oh, only you can satisfy. Sweetness at the mercy seat, tasted, it's not hard to see. Only you can satisfy.
There's honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock.
Freedom where the Spirit is. Bounty in the wilderness. You will always satisfy.
There's honey in the rock. Water in the stone. And on the ground, no matter where I go, I don't need to worry now that I know everything I need you've got. Sunny in the rock, purpose in your plan, power in the blood, healing in your hands. Started flowing when you said it's done. Everything you did's enough. I keep looking, I keep finding. Keep giving, keep providing. I have all that I need. You are all that I need. And I keep praying, you keep moving. I keep praising, you keep proving. I have all that I need. You are all that I need. I keep looking, I keep finding. Keep giving, keep providing. I have all that I need. You are all that I need. I keep praying, you keep moving. I keep praising, you keep proving. I have all that I need. You are all that I need.
Question, but I want you to understand as we sing this song, it's already done.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Everybody.
Nothing else that we need but that blood. That blood covered everything. You know, the word tells us that the blood of Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law, from sin, sickness, disease, and death, from everything that we could ever face. He's already faced it for us, as us, and we are in Him and He is in us. And you know, I thought about this, how the scripture says that He will never leave nor forsake us. And you know, sometimes we've thought that maybe, you know, felt that He has or whatever, but He never can, because He cannot lie. And when we sometimes, you know, people say, well, you can leave Him, you can walk away from Him, but the only way, if He will never leave nor forsake us, how are we going to leave Him? Are we greater than He is? No way. We may have broken fellowship. We may not talk with Him. We may not feel the joy of that relationship, just like in a natural human relationship. But that doesn't mean that He's forsaken us, or that He's not with us, or that we're not with Him. Isn't that comforting to know that we can never get away from Him. Thank God we can never get away from him. He's always in hot pursuit after us to show us his love. I know one time I was praying about some things and he said, you know, my motive in every situation is always love. Because he is love. How can he be any other thing or have any other motive than to love us? We just need to learn to let him love us.
That's right.
You are loved, greatly loved, and we love you.
Make our bed in hell. He's there. All right. How much time I got, Nevaeh? 30 minutes? You've been training her, Joe? Yeah. All right. We started last week on the firstborn's inheritance. So this is the firstborn's inheritance part two. And I was just thinking, Joe, you know what I need with my vest? I need a six shooter on my side, a cowboy hat. I'd be a real cowboy then. You know, the scripture says, and I ponder and contemplate a whole lot of things, and you know, we are. No matter how much we say we're not, we're emotional creatures. We can be emotional creatures, and it's easy to swing up sometimes and sometimes to swing down. And, you know, I take great comfort in knowing that David had to encourage himself in the Lord. And sometimes I cry out in my prayer, I don't have nothing left. Father, you're going to have to encourage me. I don't know if you've ever been that way, but this is the great thing that I've learned and am still learning is it ain't always up to me. He is the great encourager, and he can show you things. And I don't know. I've just had a lot of things on my mind this week, last few weeks, and pondering and studying on and. And you know, you kind of know this, but sometimes it's boom, it's right there in front of your face. And most people don't believe the gospel. And when I say the gospel, you know, very few have heard it. In this day and time, it's a shame, but very few have heard the gospel. I mean, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. And I just thought, boy, you know, kind of in my face too, do we believe that? When I say we, I'm not throwing this at you. I mean, I'm including myself. How much of this gospel do we really believe? And I was looking at this. And I listen, I don't know if you guys have ever heard, I've talked to you about her before, Jackie Pullinger. Malcolm told me about her, this lady who left England many years ago and went to Hong Kong and transformed the whole city, this little girl who knew hardly nothing, but through this great power of the Holy Spirit transformed a city that was left. But the thing is about that, she was sold out to it. You know what I mean? She was sold out to it. And I know for me, and I tell you, I understand why the Lord chose Paul. Because Paul was sold out to it. I mean, he was going to protect the priesthood
the Pharisees. He was going to protect the law from Mount Sinai, given from God through Moses. He was going to protect that at all costs, meaning he had people put to death. So he had this great zeal. But I was reading yesterday, and I came across these verses, and I just want to share these with you. I don't know how much we'll talk about the firstborn's inheritance today, maybe some. But in Matthew 13, verse 44, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hid in a field. Now think about that. The kingdom of heaven. I mean, do we not pray this prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done? And he says again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto its like. He said, I could compare it to this. Here's kind of a concept of the kingdom. It's like a treasure that's hid in the field. Now, if you had a field and you know there was a treasure hid in that field, would you look for it? I'm just asking, would you look for it? Digging up holes, whatever you had to do. I'm going to search for this thing. And I know there's a couple of different ways to look for this. For one is Christ coming to redeem us. The other is us finding him. It's this mutual thing. And I want to look at it from our viewpoint, not his viewpoint. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hid in the field, the which when a man hath found... Listen to this. He hideth. Now, why is that? He's protecting it. And for the joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and he buys the field. So he's just out one and one, and he finds this thing, and he realized the worth, the value of this, and he said, how much did he sell? Everything he had. He was sold out, wasn't he? I mean, that's what selling out means, isn't it? He sold all that he had, sellout. He was a sellout. He sold all that he had because to him, there was nothing more important than this treasure. And you know, I start off by saying, who believes the gospel? Because when you really believe it, you can't help but sell all that you have. Verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Now, here's a guy who knows what he's looking for. The first guy, he just stumbles upon a treasure in a field. He doesn't want nobody else to get it, so he hides it and goes and sells all he has and buys the field. But now here's a man that is looking for something. He is seeking not just pearls, but the best pearl. He's a man who's looking for the best pearl there is. Now, I got to ask you something. Where's a pearl come from? Does anybody know where a pearl comes from? Oysters. Now, do you know the process of a pearl in an oyster? Sand gets in there. And it's an acute case of acid reflux that causes the pearl to be made. It's agitation. It's heartburn to the max for the oyster that produces this. So where is these pearls coming from? Now just keep in mind, when you think of pearls, what do you think of? Pearly gates. Pearly gates. So now where did all this agitation come from? Guys, we're talking Christ here. And here's a man who's seeking the best pearl. And look what it says. And when he had found one pearl of great price, he found it. And what did he do? Same thing as the other guy did. He went and sold all that he had, and he bought the one pearl. Don't we read in the scriptures, come ye that have no money and buy? He sold out. You know, Jeff Arnold, we do that podcast and stuff. We was up here Thursday doing that, and he was working on this lady's garage. And this lady was talking to him, and all this lady said was, well, it's the end of time. Rapture's going to be any day. Antichrist about to rear his head. We're out here. It's the end of time. And Jeff looked her straight in the eye and said, then why do you have me repairing your garage and you want me to put siding on your house? Why waste the money? And she said, well, no, I mean, you know, it's close. I would say it'll be between now and the end of the year. And Jeff said again, why do you want new siding on your house? You see, my point is, we people don't believe what they say. I mean, if you really believed that you was out of here in a month and a half, I'm not paying no more car payments. What are they going to do? I won't need a car anyway. You know what I mean? But what saddens me, and I hope and pray, and it's one thing that I have tried to make it a point here, is they don't believe, and when I say the gospel, they don't believe in a winning church. They believe in a little wimpy, slimy church that God has to rescue out of a sinking boat. I'm telling you, I'm talking about people who don't even need a boat, who can walk on the water and speak to the storm and say, peace be still. Guys, that's the kind of church I'm talking about. That's the kind of church that God is raising up. I don't want to be part of the group that's just an out of here church and a wimpy church and God save us. I want people who walk boldly into the fiery furnace. I want people who says, I don't care what music they're playing, we will not bow down to the sound of the flute. You know what I mean? I know you guys probably think I'm crazy, but I believe. And I challenge you, do you believe that we're only supposed to live 70 years and then die a miserable life? Or do you believe men are supposed to live as long as trees? I can show you both verses in the Bible. Which one are you? Do you really believe that the leaves of the trees of the tree of life are for the healing of the nations? Guys, I'm telling you what. I get so sick and tired of this, and I challenge, and you know, here is one of the questions that's been on my heart. Where is the God of Elijah? God, where are you at? What are you doing? I mean, I'm sick and tired. You guys know Dad had to go back to the hospital. You know what's sad is when you have to wait on a room. You know what that tells me? The hospitals are overcrowded. Guys, they ought to be empty. As many churches as we have, they ought to be empty, Denise. Listen, when Jesus walked the shores of Galilee at the end of the old covenant, he went about doing good and healing who? That's where we ought to be. He went about doing good and healing all that were afflicted and oppressed. That's where we ought to be. And we don't walk in it. I mean, why is that? I mean, you remember we went through that thing with Curry Blake up here and went through this thing. And then we pray. And I mean, I hope it stamps in your heart. Where is the God of Elijah? What are you doing here? I'm going to tell you what. I wanted to never do a funeral from anybody from this church. Really, honest, and I'm not just saying that because Gene's kids are here. I never wanted to do one because it angers me. This is not the way it's supposed to be. It's not the way. So the question comes to me, do we believe in the gospel? What is our inheritance? I mean, How serious are we? This man sold all. He found the pearl of great Christ. Guess what, guys? We have found Christ. He's found us. We know him. Now it's time to sell out. I mean, I got to ask you a question. Do you believe in no more war? The scripture says that they will beat their spears into plowshares. Do we believe that? No, we don't believe it. We think that's for another day. The gospel is this power. The power of God unto salvation. Our hearts ought to bleed for everyone who's killed in these terrible wars from all sides. And why? From hence come these wars. Because of the lust of the flesh. Because of fear. Because of all of these things. Because they don't know Jesus. My question to us still, do we believe that we can change our society, even our little thing right here? You know, just this past week. Just this past week, somebody got robbed down here at the bank. Just this past week, somebody got shot in the parking lot at Raymond Chevrolet. Right here in our town. Oh, I mean, if we was in New York, we'd just laugh it off. Guys, in our town, right here. How many churches in our town? 1,000. How many people is dying of drug overdose in our town? You know what I mean? I mean, fighting these battles. And where do they turn to? Can they turn to a church that condemns them? When they are utterly powerless, but yet the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Jesus did something on the cross, guys. In his death, burial, and resurrection, he did something. When he got up, something happened. And he not only got up, guys, he ascended. And he is set down on the right hand of the Father. And guess what? Where you are, seated with him in heavenly places. Seated with him who has all power in heaven and in earth. How much power has he got? Sometimes I mean to be challenging on certain words because they rob words from us. You know, like salvation. You know, I've heard people say, well, you know, I've heard people go to the hospital and they walk down the halls and they see somebody that's on their deathbed and they go in, will you accept Jesus? Hey, I'll accept Jesus. You know, deathbed confession. Well, we barely got in. And that's all salvation is a ticket. Most Christians live like salvation means go to heaven when you die. Listen, I know where mommy's at. But I can tell you what, mommy ain't going to stay there because the meek shall inherit the earth. We are bringers of heaven to the earth. I want you to understand that. We are bringers of life to a dead world. That's why we pray, thy kingdom come, not us go. Most just believe salvation is get saved. You don't go to heaven when you die. Live a mediocre life here. Guys, we are more than conquerors. Do you ever just ponder that? We are more than conquerors. And I know Denise was saying he'll never leave us, no matter if we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Behold, the Lord is with us. He will never, ever, never leave us. Why? Because he's joined. We've done these marriages, guys, and guess what? He ever liveth. We kid around and we say there's, you know, we could say this part of the marriage covenant until death do us part. Well, guess what? He that believeth on me shall never die. What a covenant. What a covenant. We're joined to him that'll never die. All the talk I hear about it. I mean, I heard it on the radio coming up here. Is we better be ready. We better be ready. Thank God he made you ready. Let me say that. He did it, Teddy. When he got up from the dead, guess what? You're justified. Ain't you glad? I mean, he was buried for our offenses and he raised for our justification. He made us ready. Thank God it ain't up to me, Kathy, because I wouldn't even know what I was doing, okay? My next question is, Teddy, how then do I get ready? Well, read your Bible. How much? I mean, I'm one of these guys. I want to know how much. 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours and 52 minutes? I want to know how much. What's it take to get ready? Well, you got to go to church. Well, we only have church twice a week. Well, you need to go 7 days a week. I don't know. We'll have to find another church. How am I supposed to go to church and read the Bible 4 hours and 52 minutes? Then what else I got to do? Well, you know, sell all you got. I don't know. What's it take? We need somebody who asks questions. You tell me to get ready. It's like Jeff asked the woman, why do you want me to put siding on your house? You're going to be out of here in a month. I wouldn't waste the money. I'd go to the Caribbean. Yeah. Wouldn't you? I'm out of here anyway. There's a great victory, guys, that is ours. I mean, they come and tell me, you know, we got to be worried about the end of time and the Antichrist and God's a thief. You know, God's a thief. That's what they want to tell you. God's a thief because he comes in the night and he tries to catch you when you're doing bad stuff. Oh, my God. I mean, if God showed up and you was watching The Walking Dead, you're going to hell. Guys, I'm telling you what, whether we like it, embrace it or not, reformation is on the way. God will have a son in his image. Full, mature, complete, head and body. Guys, we're the body. We're the body. When this understanding of the gospel, what God has done in Christ Jesus. I mean, do you ever just ponder them? God was in Christ reconciling who? The world unto himself. You know what that means? Do you ever just ponder that? The world unto himself. Guys, that got to Ukrainians and the Russians. That got to Hamas and Israel and the Japanese and the Americans and the Indians and everybody. He did something here, guys. And the scripture says, not imputing their trespasses unto them. He took that book everybody's scared of and closed it. That book was Christ. What do you mean? Jesus said in the volume of the book, it's written to me, I come to do thy will, O God. He takes away the first, that man of sin. Why? He takes it away that he might establish the second. He done away with the one. And establish the second. What's the second one? That you might have life. And what kind of life? A little sorry life? A little beat around crawling the floor life? Or a victorious, abundant life? I don't know if you guys know this, but Jesus is fun to hang out with. When this makes this into our understanding and our realization, you know, Tracy probably fussed at me for this, but Friday me and her was watching TV and then we stopped watching TV and we start playing Nameless Tune. I usually win, but she won. And you know, back in the 80s, you know, I mean, this is what kids did. We listen to all kinds of music. So you play the tune, and man, she was on fire. Maybe I was making bad choices. She was naming off all these tunes. And one of the tunes, I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm telling on myself, was by a group called the Talking Heads. You guys, anybody know who the Talking Heads are? I'm looking around because nobody is fessing up to knowing who the Talking Heads are. Yeah, Neil knows the Talking Heads. Yeah, the Talking Heads. Well, there's a song they did called Burning Down the House. Yeah. And I'm watching them play the song, and I said, you know what? They was having a blast. Jeff probably knows who I'm talking about. I don't know that dude. He's got a Martin guitar, and he's playing that song, and they're running and jumping. And I told Tracy, I said, this is a two-chord song, man. It's a two-chord song. But they're having a blast. And I you know, once this song gets in your head, Teddy, you know what? Yeah, next 4 days, you're just singing that song. Burning down the house. And where I go, and I'm thinking, what do we need of the church? Burning down the house. And you know, always in these things, guys, this is actually what God did in Christ, is he burnt down the house. And you're thinking, I know this guy's lost his mind. Well, maybe I have. I don't need my mind anyway. Let this mind be in you. Luke chapter 12 and verse 49. Luke chapter 12, verse 49. Look at this. Now, sometimes I just want to put these scriptures up there so you can see them with your own eyes. I mean, you would think Jesus was going to say, you know what, I just come to hope to win some. I just, you know, because we believe in a little wimpy Jesus. I just hope that I can save a few people and go to heaven when I die and you know, and save a few people and God will rescue us because the devil's so big and strong. What does Jesus say here? Guys, in my Bible, it's red letters right there. And red letters means this is Jesus speaking, and Jesus just stamps his foot and he says, I come to send fire on the earth. What will I if it already be kindled? Man, these are strong words, ain't it? Now, what's the purpose of fire? Do you think everybody was cold? And Jesus said, I come to bring some fire because everybody's cold. Look at verse 50. But I have a baptism. Now, he's just talking about fire. But I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I straight until it be accomplished? Now, Jesus is saying, you remember there was one, John said, another's coming and he'll baptize you with fire. I wonder what this fire is. I have a baptism to be straight. And he just said, I come to send fire. And then he says, I have a baptism to be baptized with. You think he's going to be baptized in fire? I wonder when Jesus was baptized in fire. Guys, he's already come up out of the River Jordan. He's already been baptized in water. I wonder what his baptism in fire is going to be. You reckon it's the cross? You reckon it's the cross? What happened at the cross? What did he say? If I be lifted up, how many is he going to draw into it? Just the Jews? Just the good people. If I be lifted up, I will draw all unto me. And what's he going to do with that house? Burning down the house? Yeah. Look at verse 51. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on the earth? And what's Jesus, say? And he says, no, this is what you're thinking. I come to say, no, I'm telling you, but division. Thank God for the division. And we said, well, I thought he reconciled. Guys, we need the division from that old way of thinking. We need that division from the old man. We need that division from that sin consciousness. And that's what he came to do, and he done it in the cross. I was, you know, musing on these things. Go with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. I'm just sharing some of this stuff with you. 30 minutes, Nevaeh. Still got 30 minutes? All right. I like her. She's pretty cool. Look at verse 13. Every man's work. Now, sometimes when you read, go slow. How many people's works going to be made manifest? I mean, so this just ain't about me, is it? Because I know a lot of people think, well, that's just about the preachers because I ain't doing nothing. Well, every man's work should be made manifest. Now, what's going to declare his work? The day. The day shall declare it. Why? Because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's, how many men? Every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. What's the question that comes to your mind here? I hope a question generates here because, you know, like I hope to generate a question when somebody tells you to be ready. I need to know what be ready means, right? So tell me your qualifications, because in my church being ready might mean this, in this church being ready might mean this, in this church being ready might mean this. Right? So we need to have some legal qualifications for being ready means. Well, thank God I've told you Jesus made us ready. So done, over and done with. So now if every man's work, okay, so we're all included in this. Every man's work is going to be tried by fire. We better know what our work is. So I need to ask the question, Jesus, what work are you talking about here that's going to be tried in the fire? I need to know that, Denise, because, man, I want to make sure that when my work is tried, that I don't suffer loss here. Right? I mean, does that sound like a reasonable question? Do you think the Bible's going to tell us what our work is? There's a gospel here. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. This is, let's see. He's fed the 5,000. He sent them away. He tells the disciples, get on the boat, go to the other side. He comes walking on the sea. He enters into the ship. You know, this is when Jesus gets into the ship with them. And in verse 26, we'll start at 26. Jesus, now he's with his disciples. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and were filled. So, I mean, he's came to the other side, and there's people around on the other side. He said, look, you guys was here for dinner. That's what he's saying, right? You guys was here for dinner, for the loaves and the fishes. Then he says something in verse 27, labor not for the meat that perishes. Labor not. Now remember the man that found the pearl, what does he do with the pearl? He sells everything he's got and buys the pearl. The man that finds a treasure in the field, he sold out, he buys everything. And Jesus says, labor not for the meat that perisheth. That this meat, these loaves and fishes, man, they perishes. And he's telling these people, don't do that. Why? Man, my belly's hungry and we need this. But he says, but for that meat which endureth into everlasting life. Okay, fine, Jesus. So what are you talking about here? Because I understand peanut butter sandwiches, but you're talking to me about another meat that leads into everlasting life. Jesus, what are you talking about here? Just be plain with me. And then he says, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Okay. You know, here I am, and I'm listening to Jesus, and I'm thinking, okay, I don't get it. You just fed the 5,000. We saw the miracles. We saw the 12 baskets of fragments left over. And we followed you because of this great miracle. And now you're telling me to seek this other meat. What kind of meat are you talking about? Remember, our question is, what are the works? And then now Jesus is talking about this meat that perishes and this meat that gives eternal life. And they asked the common question that you and I ought to ask. They said unto him, well, what must we do? What shall we do that we might work the works of God? So they got it in their mind that this meat has to do with the work of God. So they asked the question, what is the work of God? What do we need to do to work the works of God? I mean, this sounds like a good question for church people, a good question that people need to have on their bulletin so when they come into the church, because the church will tell them the work they need to do for God. Well, you got to read your Bible 4 hours and 52 minutes every day. You got to go to church 7 days a week. You got to repent of your sins. Every time you do one, you got to repent. What happens if you sin and don't even know that you sin? What if you forget one time? What if, you know, I mean, you gotta give to the poor. How much? I mean, these are questions I wonder. You gotta give to the poor. How much? I mean, I've got $1,000 in the bank. Why give 500 and give half of it away? Well, see, that woman, she gave 2 pennies. Well, I'll give you 2 pennies. But, you know, I got bills I got to pay. So how much do you give? So they asked Jesus the question, what shall we do to work the works of God? And Jesus answered. Isn't it amazing? I love that Jesus answered them, because Jesus didn't say, you know what, y'all bunch of idiots, I'm not telling you. Go figure it out. I'm tired of y'all crazy people. Jesus answered and said unto them, how much more plain can you be? This is the work of God. Now, you think this has to do with the work that Paul said, every man's work is going to be tried by fire? This is the meat that perishes, and then the meat that pertains into everlasting life. What is this work? This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Every man's work will be tried by fire. How much do you believe? How much do you trust in him? It'll be put to the test. It's always put to the test. Why do you think this fiery trial, which is to try you, why do you think it is a strange thing concerning this fiery trial that is to try you? That your faith, the same word, belief, faith, may come forth precious as gold tried into the fire. I mean, what does he say here in the book of Revelation? What was his rebuke to the church of Laodicea? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich. Was he talking about natural gold? No, he's talking about believing that you may be rich. Let me keep on reading verse 30, because I just want to show you something here. They said, therefore, unto him, okay, believe on you. Okay, here's what we want. We want a sign. We need a sign. What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What doest thou work? Look at that. Okay, show us a sign. We need a sign. We need something, you know. Now here they're talking. They're still talking. They said, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven. Okay? We thought that's what this was. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Think about that, the true bread. We're feasting on the true bread. For the bread of God is he. Uh-oh. Do you look at that? For the bread of God is what? He. The bread of God is a person. Right? The bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life to his favored people. Are y'all reading the same one I am? Who's he give life to? Then they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And he said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. You ever get hungry? What does it mean, never hunger? Do you ever ask God these questions? What do you mean, never hunger? I can't comprehend never hunger. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something right now. Tracy's got a whole basket full of Hershey with almonds candy bars that I'm going to dive into after a while. Let's see how many of them I can eat. I can't comprehend no hunger. What does it mean? Guys, I don't know. You know, he told the woman at the well, drink this water, you'll never thirst again. I can't comprehend that. Honestly, Teddy, I can't get it in my mind. I can preach it and I can throw it out there. But God, you've got to prove to me what it means to never be hungry again. My mind can't comprehend it. I get hungry. I'm getting hungry now, Joe. I'm just telling Joe so he can get my biscuits ready. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believed not. You're seeing me and you believe not. Let me skip down to verse 40 here. Verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me. You want to know what the will of God is? You reckon this is going to tell us? This is the will of him that sent me. You reckon he's talking about the Father? Okay, you want to know what God's will is? I want to know what God's will is for my life. Here we go. That everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Guys, do you think he's talking about it the last day at the end of time? No. Let me just read something here. Let me just go over here to Hebrews. My Bible's falling apart. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in his Son. Last day. What last day is he referring to? Last day of the old covenant. The last day when it's over, when it's done with. And what's he say? In that day he'll raise him up. Raise him up. Go back to verse 40. Believeth on him he may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up. That at is in the last day. In the last day. What was the Jews' response to this? Go to the next verse. Their response to this is what the church world's response is today. And they murmured. They wasn't even concerned about this everlasting life. They said, oh my gosh, I can't believe he said he's the true bread which come down from heaven. Nobody talks like this. He's not the true bread. This guy's crazy. Go to verse 61, same chapter. So this argument ensues, and Jesus says, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. And they thought, this guy is a lunatic. He says he's the bread of heaven. We got to eat his flesh. We want no part of this guy. I mean, we're trying to ask God about working the works of God and this eternal life. And then here he is telling us, because we know the manna. We know that God sent the manna down, the manna in the wilderness. We thought the manna was eating the loaves and the fishes. And now he says to eat his flesh, this guy's crazy. Verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. Oh my God, who can hear it? Who can hear this? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said to them, does this offend you? Because guys, what is the gospel? A stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. Does this offend you? What? And he says, what? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascended up where he was before. My God, what a statement that is. I don't know what it does to you, but I immediately go to Elijah. And what did Elisha have to see, guys? He had to see Elijah in his ascension. And where was the cry? Where is the God of Elijah? And what happened when he seen him in his ascension? The mantle fell on him, and he walked back through Jordan River on dry ground, and he worked twice as many miracles as did Elijah. What did he say? The works that I do, ye shall do also, and greater than these shall ye do. Direct reference. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I'm speaking to you, they are spirit, they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. I'm going to ask you guys a $2 question. I looked this up, and the word believe, I said, man, because I'm a first kind of reference guy. Where is believe first used in the Scripture? Do you know the first time believe is in the Scripture is Abraham? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Do you know that? And I don't know, you guys won't know this, but the word is 539 in the Hebrew. H539 in the Strong's Concordance. And you know how they spell it? You'll like this. They spell it A-W-M-A-N. Now spell that out phonetically. What do you get? Amen. Imagine that. Amen. Amen. I mean, I believe this is in 2 Corinthians. For all the promises of God in him, are all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen. Amen. The Hebrew word for believe is amen. Abraham believed God, and that word means faithful. It means established, assurance, steadfast, verified, put trust in. Now, the Greek word is pistio, to have faith of, in trust, put trust in. See, when you believe in something or someone, you can act purposely. You know, the guy who found the treasure in the field believed it was worth something, so he sold all he had and bought the whole field. The guy who believed that the pearl he had was of great price sold all he had to buy the pearl. When you believe in this gospel, you sell all you have because there's nothing else. And your report will be like Peter. Where else could we go? You have the words of eternal life. See, belief empowers by giving an unshakable resolve. Belief is what animates the ability to respond to any situation with extraordinary toughness and tenacity and determination. Jesus had faith. Imagine this. What do you mean he had faith? I mean, Peter says, he says, I'm going up to Jerusalem and I'm going to suffer at the hands of these Pharisees and I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be, oh, no, no, no. But he had the tenacity to do that. Guys, that's what it's going to take from us. This belief that we're not a wimpy bunch of people. We're not a wimpy church here. Even the old Roman centurion knew better. What did he say? Just say the word. And my servant will be made whole. What did Jesus say? I haven't found nary bit of faith like this in all of Israel. Israel, who should have known? This little woman, she comes to him. Syrophoenician woman comes to him. Oh, my daughter's sick. Come, we don't give the bread to the dogs. Even the dogs get the crumbs from the table. What did Jesus say? Oh, I haven't found so great a faith in all Israel. Great faith. These two Gentile peoples, great faith. I'm just going to keep going here. John chapter 7, verse 38. Here's what it says. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of what kind of water? Dead old stinky swamp water? Living water. Well, guys, I can tell you, an Old Testament picture here, guys, is Abraham digged wells. Abraham digged wells. And then he had a son named Isaac. And you know what happened during that time? The people came along, the enemies, and filled the wells up with dirt. And Isaac had to come, and he didn't dig new wells. He had to get the dirt out of the wells. What is the dirt? It's the sin, conscience, thinking. The well is in us, ready to spring forth, but it's full of sin, conscience, thinking. That has to be cleaned out. How is that cleaned out? By looking at the cross, by seeing him in his death, burial, and resurrection. And when you see, go look again, and go look again, go look again. You know, he asked the old prophet, he said, I want you to go on this journey. I want you to take a garment and throw this garment in the rocks. And I'm in this 6-month journey. And when you go back, what do you see? I see a garment marred. Guys, that was Old Testament. Now what do you see? I see a woman clothed in white with no spot or wrinkle. That old woman had a marred garment. He's made us clean every whit. Let's go to Romans here real quick. Romans. Listen to this. Romans 10 and 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. You know what that's saying right there? With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. In other words, when you believe, the result is righteousness. When you believe, the result is justification. And then with the mouth, if we can hear this, with the mouth, profession, not confession, profession is made. In other words, there's a statement made, a profession made unto salvation. Wow, what is salvation? The power of God unto salvation. A profession is made. He's done it. He has justified us, Teddy. He's cleaned us every whit. Look at verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall never be ashamed. Now, so I don't know when you read these questions. So then what is salvation? If salvation is not a ticket to go to heaven when you die, then what is salvation? I mean, we got to ask these questions. Is it bigger than going to heaven when you die? You daggone right it's bigger. Salvation means to be made whole. I'm just sharing some things with you here, guys. Because I want us to see this. I want us to see him. You know, I want you to listen to me. Should you read your Bible? Absolutely, you should read your Bible. Yes, yes, yes. But listen to me. You are not going to grow spiritually just by reading your Bible alone. I've read Bible front to back, started again front to back, started again front to back. There's many people who've read the Bible 50, 100 times and they're not growing spiritually. Why is that? People go to churches and they, you know, my Bible has I think it's got in the front of it a reading plan. Let's see, how to study the Bible. Yeah, read through the entire Bible and it gives you a reading list. Is that going to make me spiritual? No. Should I read the Bible? Yes. So, and here's a point, guys, and I'm sharing this with you because I want you to understand this. What is it that's going to make the difference? What is it? I got to go over here and show you. Because there is something here that's going to make the difference in how you read. Right here in Joshua, we've talked about this before. In Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That word meditate, day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Isn't that what John said? That you be prosperous in all things. We want your way to be prosperous. So what is the key to that? Meditation. Then thou shalt have what? Good success. We want a church. We want a body of Christ that has good success. How are we going to obtain that? Meditation. And what's he say? Have I not commanded thee, be strong and be of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Meditation. What does that mean? To meditate. Because a lot of people read the Bible. There'll be people that go to church today and leave and get in the parking lot and it's gone. They're not thinking about anything. I mean, to meditate means, God, what is the work of God? You've got to show me what the work of God is. What, how God can you, you know, God, you've got to show me what it means to never be hungry again. I don't know it. I can't comprehend it. I'm pondering on it, thinking about it. God, you've got to show me what it means to never thirst again. I can't get it out of my mind. God, what is this pearl of great price? I've got to see it. And I'm pondering. I may be at work and I may be working on the railroad, but in my mind, what does it mean to never hunger again? What does it mean? God, you've got to show me. And I'm pondering on it. And I'm thinking about it. And I'm pondering on it. How often do you have scriptures on your mind? A verse on your mind. What does salvation mean? What does it mean, God? I know it's bigger than go to heaven when you die. But see, people, here's what people want. And you know that word meditate means to muse. M-U-S-E. And remember I told you what a muse. And our whole society is built on amusement or entertainment. A muse means don't think. We want a people who don't think. But God wants a people who thinks. Let this mind be in you. Renewing of our mind. He wants a thinking people. A people who are musing and meditating on him all the day long. And in that, he gives us the revelation of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Remember, let's go to Ecclesiastes here a second. Ecclesiastes. Here's a verse that you've probably been wondering, what the heck does this mean? Or how stupid is this verse? This verse is written by Solomon, the wisest man, Ecclesiastes 2:14. Look at this. Have you ever pondered this verse? The wise man's eyes are in his head. Duh. Do you ever just read that and say, duh? Where else are they going to be? In his shoulder? A wise man's eyes are in his feet. Where else would they be? Why would he write this? Do you ever just say, God, why would you write this verse? We know a man's Ecclesiastes, baby, chapter 2, verse 14. The wise man's eyes are in his head. Look at that. But the fool walks in darkness. Why did you write that? You ever ask yourself, why would you write that verse? Now go with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. The eyes of your understanding. Now wait a minute. Where's the wise man's eyes? In his head. Now Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, being flooded with light, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of his glory and of his inheritance in the saints. Now let me go back to John. John chapter 6 verse 40. Remember, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son. What do you seeth the Son? Seeth the Son. See with what? The mind. The eyes of the wise are in the head. What if your mind be single, if your eye be single, the body's full of light. I tell you, I've got so much, but I'm not going to be able to get all through this. When John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, that term in the Spirit, I did a lot of studying on this. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Do you know what John was doing? John was meditating on the Lord. I want you to understand, in the Spirit, and I know what most churches think, and I know what is preached out there, and they think in the Spirit means I'm, you know, in some kind of la-la land and speaking in tongues or running and jumping and dancing and all this stuff. In the Spirit means he was meditating on the Lord. Go read Ezekiel, and you can see when Ezekiel sat. What did he do when he sat? He was meditating on the Lord. And in the visions there, the Lord began to show him, how often do you sit before the Lord and meditate on the Lord? And it's in that he will bring the revelation of these things I'm telling you. We're too busy to sit before the Lord. And guys, sitting before the Lord doesn't mean going in a corner somewhere. You can be at work and have your mind stayed on him. I promise you, I do it every day. You can have your mind stayed on him. Because he wants us to be established in this truth. You remember what the elders said, come and see, or not the elders, the living creatures in Revelation, come and see, come and see. I'm going to, Jeff, give me about 5 minutes. I'll bring this to a close. I'm going to keep you all day today. Guys, I'm going to tell you something here that you can do. I mean, I've heard, we can ask the question, where is the God of Elijah? He challenged us and said, taste and see. What? That's a challenge to you, isn't it? That's a challenge for you to come and taste and see that he's good, right? Guys, you can challenge him. He will say, prove me. Does he not say that? Prove me. I can go to God and I can say, God, show me how I will never thirst again. Show me how I'm more than a conqueror. I want to believe it, but you got to show it to me. I can't figure. Don't come with your arrogance and think, oh, well, I'm a great believer. Because let me tell you something. Every man's work will be tried by fire. God himself came right in my very room at my house and asked me the question, do you believe me like you believe Stevie? Oh, my God. Fire was in my room, Denise. Fire was burning down the house. And guess what? I did not believe. God knew. God knew. That's why he come. To prove to me who he is. And in that very thing, he says, go read Joshua chapter 10. when the sun stood still, he said that day the sun obeyed a man. It's never happened before then, and it never happened again. And he showed me right there the message of the cross, right in Joshua chapter 10. Only he can do that. He showed me in that day that Jesus was like a lamb to the slaughter, and he opened not his mouth. He became obedient when they said, "Give us Barabbas. We won't have this man rule over us." He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But in that great death, oh my God, was great victory. The Lord Jesus, great victory. And we're raised up with him. I want to go some places, but let me read you this here real quick. Psalms, if I got Psalms 112. Psalms 112. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Here's a question: what are his commandments? Anybody know what his commandments are? Go read 1 John chapter 3. Go read 1 John chapter 3. This is the commandment: that you believe on him whom he has sent. It's right in your Bible. Go read it. It's not the Ten Commandments. Believe on him. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. His seed shall be what? Who is his seed upon the earth? If you be Christ, then you be Abraham's seed. His seed shall be what? A bunch of weaklings? A bunch of losers wallowing around? His seed shall be mighty. Meditate on that. If you leave here, you think, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Not in heaven, not flying off up here. Now, you and me, us, mighty. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. His righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light and darkness. Who's the upright? We're the upright. He is gracious, full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. Who's the good man? He is. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely, I mean, this is that covenant word out of Psalm 23. Surely he shall not be moved forever. Don't you love that? He ain't moving. He ain't moving. Guys, he's the rock that breaks into pieces all others. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. He don't care what you think. He ain't up there saying, "Oh my God, the devil's getting up and oh my God, the devil's about to win. Oh my God, what are we going to do?" He ain't scared. This girl used to tell me, she used to say this all the time at school, "I ain't scared." He ain't scared. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Why? His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his end. His heart is established. Let me just say this here as we close out here. You remember Reuben? We said last week, Reuben, the firstborn, the scripture said he's the firstborn of my strength. But he's unstable as water. He's unstable as water. Unstable. It's doubting here, unbelieving here. But he's raising up a people who are set, established, fixed. I don't know if you guys know this, but in the Song of Solomon, the Shulamite woman, as I'm getting ready to close out, she's brought into the banqueting house. Guys, it's the Feast of Tabernacles. There's apples, there's grapes, there's wine. And you know, when she sees it, you know what she does? She passes out in his arms. And when she awakes, he's got his hand under her head and under her body. He's holding her up. She passed out in his arms. You think, well, that's crazy. Queen of Sheba did the same thing. Queen of Sheba did the same. She passes out in the glory. And when she comes to, you know what she sees? She sees my Lord as a hind, like a deer on the mountains, jumping to and fro. Man, he's sure-footed. The first thing she sees is he's established. His footing is sure. He never slips. He never stumbles. She says, look at my Lord. Look at him. And guys, he's bringing us in, establishing our hearts, establishing us so that we never slip, that we never fall. Why? Because we're in him. And look at him. She wakes up, she's looking, and the first thing she sees is her Lord. Make my feet like hinds' feet. You know why you need hinds' feet? You know why? See, down at the bottom of the mountain, man, you don't have to worry about nothing. But the higher we go in God, you better be established. Because you ever watch them things, they jump in the little crevices of the rock. Guys, he's bringing us to the high places in God. Before he does, he's going to make sure that our feet, our heart is established so that we never slip or fall. You see, he ain't going to bring you to a place that you can stumble. See, we've come to Mount Zion, but it's a mountain that must be trodden. It's a mountain that he is calling us to. Every one of us, he's calling us. Come up here, just like he did John. Come up here, John. Come up here, Denise. Come up here, Kathy. Come up here, Joe. Come up here, Teddy. Come up here, Neil. And see. See what? See him whom he has sent. And in seeing him, we are changed into his image. Guys, we ain't even talk much about the firstborn inheritance. But I will say this. And this is something I got to explain, not today. But I hope this will create a question for something for you to meditate on and muse on. The inheritance of the firstborn is not something you get. The inheritance of the firstborn is what he gets. You are his inheritance. And the firstborn always gets a double portion. You're the double portion. It's not something you get. Go read Psalm chapter 2 and maybe that'll answer that question. Anyway, I better quit with that.